We are currently in our fresh series, currently looking at what causes freshness in our lives, currently looking at how do we go about seeking God to make us fresh? How does that look? How do we move out of that dry place, that dry feeling, if you will? The image of Joseph that we looked at our last sermon series, Dreamer. How do you get out of that dry place that when Joseph was thrown into the deep well? What's the next step for that? And I was really, it's really been on my heart to share this in this series. The message title today is, Can You Hear Me Now? Can you hear me? A great ad campaign that lasted for probably about a year and no one ever remembers it. Does anyone remember that? Yes, kind of. John Jackson was very excited about that. I remember that. So can you just lean over one person, two people, say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You hear her all the time? That's on the podcast. I had an opportunity. I shared this with the youth group this last week, and youth group was really good last week. It was great. We talked about how do you hear the voice of God? How do you hear it? How are you moved by the Holy Spirit? How do you see things happen? And we prayed for God to show up, and he did. I love those moments. And today's message, it kind of reverberates part of that message. And just, can you hear me now? I was sitting down with this phenomenal pastor, great leader. His name is Leslie Kegel. Some people know about Leslie Kegel? I was at a church, and I was asked to, every once in a while I get asked to take guest speakers out to lunch, and I loved it. It was one of my favorite. Other pastors say, I don't have time. I'm like, I have time. I will make time. Cancel. I get to sit down one-on-one with this person. Are you kidding? Of course I'll do that. And I remember taking Leslie Kegel out to eat, and I kept thinking, like, I got to ask him something. Like, you don't take someone out who is a giant cause of a movement across Sri Lanka. How many, like, he started, like, 2,000 churches or something? That's probably a low number in Sri Lanka. Like his ministry is insane. He goes and people are like, oh, you know, I only have one kidney, it's failing. And he's like, prays over, boom, you have two now. What? Like he sees crazy, he prays. And so I sat down, and he's also prophetic. He sees the future, he sees where things are going. And so I sat down and I boiled everything I wanted to ask him down to one question. And I was talking to some pastor friends and they made fun of me later on. They're like, you ask them that? So I asked them this question. I said, if you started everything over again, basically you were in my shoes, starting from scratch, you're at the beginning of your ministry, what would you do differently? What would you do differently? My pastor friend said, you ask them about the past, you gotta ask them about the future. Ask them what's to come. And I said, that's indirectly my future, I wanna know. And it was one of those moments that you hear something, some wisdom come across, and you're like, I'm not going to forget that ever. And he said to me, if I went back and did it over again, I've trained up a lot of people. Trained up a lot of people to do what I do, to see the miracles that I see, to pray the way that I do it. And it's all the performance and the prophetic and the moving and the churches, and I've released hundreds of leaders. If I went back, redid everything, I would have taught people how to hear the voice of God, just how to pray. That's it. He goes, I look back at a lot of people that I raised up and I spent years on their lives, and they went out and they got caught up in all the different being popular and being famous and the money and all this, and they lost it because they didn't get that still, quiet, small voice with God and hear what he's saying. And it was at that moment that I go, this is an important thing to write down and remember the rest of my life. And from that, it's kind of a theme that I like to bring up every once in a while in ministries when I speak out, when I do stuff, is just, how do you pray? How do you spend time with God? How do you hear the voice of God? Can you hear me now? Looking at how do you hear, and this might just be a recap for some of you. You may have heard this a million times, but I think it's one of those things that's a great reminder. Maybe you've never heard this before. It's going to change your life. I love it. If you're saying, I want to hear God outside of what other people tell me what God is saying to me, this is perfect for you. This is the message. Pay attention. First off, did you say, what's that?
Listen up.
First off, you have to start with an attitude of submission. Submission. Everyone say submission. I love this word. I've preached and I've talked about it. I love sharing this. Just the one word, submission. What does it mean? If you break it up, because a lot of people are like, submission. Yeah, it has a bad word to it, a bad meaning to it a lot of times because we don't understand what it actually means. Submission, if you take it apart, sub and mission, it means sub like submarine and mission meaning like mission or vision. It means coming under a vision or a mission for your life. Did you know that? You have to be submitted to God. You have to come under the mission he has for your life. You have to be submitted to what he has to say. It's not that you're saying, oh, Lord, I give it all up. It's not an Eeyore attitude, you know. I've even watched a lot of Winnie the Pooh in the house. It's not that attitude. It's God, I am coming under what you have for me. I submit myself to this. I will seek it with my diligence to find the mission that you have placed in my life. And I'll come under it. You are my God, my Lord, my commander. You are over me. And I'm going to submit to that. That's the idea. The first thing, in order to hear God speak to you, you have to say, God, speak to me because I want to do what you have to say. That kind of makes a lot of sense, right? Why would you call up your boss and say, all right, tell me what I got to do today and do opposite of that, right? That's doesn't make sense. So let's look at, just to start off on this, let's look at the life of Moses. Do you know Moses' life is broken down into three parts? It's 40 years, 40 years, and 40 years. Big surprise on that. You know, the first 40 years is when he learned to become somebody. He was in Pharaoh's court. He was learning to sit at the wealthiest people on the earth. He was learning to become somebody. The next 40 years, he was learning to be a nobody. Sitting around in the desert, walking around with sheep, talking to sheep, cleaning up after sheep, making sure they're eating. It's hard to say sheep real fast without saying, never mind. What are you guys thinking? Then the third part is 40 years learning to be God's somebody. God's somebody. In Exodus chapter 4, this verse, I was really inspired by this verse. I heard it on a podcast, and I want to bring this out and then go into some notes, but this really changed my perspective on some things in regards to submitting, to understanding the mission that God has for us and going, everyone is already reading the verse. You guys are all overachievers. Okay, let's look at it. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from it, like everyone who would do if all of a sudden your stick became a snake. My wife would scream and maybe pass out. We were at the zoo the other day. Yeah, the Santa Barbara Zoo, and you know when you have to walk through all the snakes and the bugs to get to the bird stuff? We love the bird stuff. London loves the insect stuff. I tolerate it. My wife just kind of stands next to the wall and just go, yeah, it's great. Great, London. And Mama, come look at this. Yeah, I know. I know what's over there. You don't need to tell me again. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. He reached out his hand, caught it, and became a rod in his hand. Now, if you're reading this for the first time or hundredth time, you might have the question, I don't know why I'm reading this or what this is. What is going on here? And I was kind of thinking about this. It's a rod in his hand, snake on the ground, rod in his hand, snake on the ground. Get this imagery in your head, right? It's a stick in his hand, but then God says to do what? Throw it on the ground, and then it becomes what? A snake. It becomes alive all of a sudden, and then he picks it up, and then what happens to it? It becomes a stick again. So it's not alive. It's dead in his hand. Then it's alive when God says, put it before me. And then when he takes it back in his hand, it's dead again. Interesting. That's really kind of interesting. This thing that he's holding on to so dearly is dead when he's grasping onto it, becomes alive when it's before God, given up to God. And when he grabs it back, it's dead. Is that interesting? What in our lives is dead when we clutch onto it so tightly? What skills, resources, things that maybe we've been holding onto so tightly because, like, this is mine. It's God, you can have everything but this. What talents, what resources, what things do we hold on to in our hands that this is my precious? Thanks for chuckling. Thanks. Lord of the Rings humor. What thing are you holding on to? Do you realize that the thing that God asks you to place before him, becoming submitted, placing it out, will actually become alive? Now, don't get caught up on the snake thing. I'm just trying to bring out an illustrative point. Sometimes God asks us to lay down things at the cross for him so that it becomes alive. Do you know Moses, if he hadn't laid down the staff, the rod, you know, up to this point it always was called the staff or the rod of Moses, the rod of Aaron, but after this it was always called the rod of God. Oh, interesting. The thing that he was holding on to, he placed it before God. And then the thing that blows my mind the most of this entire story is, what is the instrument that God uses to bring out his power and authority in front of the people for the rest of Moses' life? What is it? The rod, the thing that he casts it out and it becomes a snake, and it shows the power of God in front of the Magi and the people in front of the Pharaoh. And then all of a sudden he breaks and he hits the rock and it brings out this flow of water to life to people in the desert. Then he takes the same rod and he casts it and the water splits in half. God's authority and power was used through that thing that said, would you submit this and give it up to me? And I want to illustratively point this out to us today. What talent, what resource, what thing are we holding on to? Because I guarantee you, God's not A, schizophrenic, and B, if he's done it once, he could do it again. What are you holding on to that God's saying, I just want to like dance right now. I'll wait. It's for me. It's Jesus is calling right now. He said, this is good. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? That God's saying, lay this down. Submit to me so that I can use this and show my full authority in your life. What skills, what talents, what resources, what things do you have, are you holding on to so tightly? What is something that you have that maybe you're saying, I love this for me. I don't really want to share this too much, but this is mine. Or when people say, hey, can you help out here? Can you do this? I know you're really good at, I don't know, whatever. Are you forfeiting the opportunity that God has to move through that in a powerful way? I think this is kind of interesting because Moses had this moment with God at the burning bush, and God says, what's that in your hand? Which I believe is one of the most important questions that every believer will ever be asked. It's not the most important question. The most important question is, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? They say yes to him and never do anything? And the other question is, what's that in your hand? What's the talent that I've given you? What's the thing that you have that you can bring forward that I can take over and utilize fully? What is that? We got time. I'll share this. I was writing down some thoughts on the staff, and I was thinking through this, and the staff represents a few things, and it might help you trigger your understanding of what are some things that maybe you need to think through of what can I give up and submit to God on this. Staff, one thing it represents is identity. You wouldn't see the Pharaoh walking around with a shepherd's staff, right? If someone's walking around with a shepherd's staff, you got to believe they're probably a shepherd or they're weird. Moses was both, okay? He's walking around. It represents identity. It also actually represents income. You know that? If you're walking around with a shepherd's staff, that's your source of finances. You have sheep to sell the wool. You have one sheep, your income's probably not that big. You know, you got a lot of sheep that you're walking around with that has lots of use on it, represents your income. The other thing it represents is your influence, the ability to influence the sheep, to move them and guide them into the location that you're at. Influence, identity, income. Maybe one of those might spark of something that God's asking you to lay down before him and saying, God, this is something you can use. I've been holding on to it for so long, but now's the moment that I can move forward and I want to see your miracles happen. Do you know, if Moses didn't lay down his staff and have that God moment with God and saw the burning bush and just ran away and said, that's crazy, I'm out of here, I don't want to see it, what's going on, I'm going to go back, these aren't even my sheep, we got to get out of here. You know, if he had that moment, he wouldn't have gotten the Israelites out. He wouldn't have freed God's chosen people. He wouldn't have had these God moments. We wouldn't have had a Savior come. We wouldn't even be here in this church today if he didn't lay down and submit to God. That just blows my mind. Just something to think about. Huh? So, how do you submit and how do you hear the voice of God? Can you hear me now? Should that be the theme? I pray that, I know the commercial doesn't exist anymore, but every time you're on your cell phone, just, can you hear me now? Every time you say it, maybe you laughed yourself. Hey, can you hear me? Oh man, I just remember that message. You know, it just, let it be something that sparks up. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It's a model for hearing the voice of God. Do you know that? There's five things that model it out. It's five things that Habakkuk does. If you can't find Habakkuk, it does exist in the Bible. It just might, if you have a paper book, it might just be like the whitest pages. Maybe you haven't turned there before. It's a short book. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I will climb to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. The Lord answered me, write down the vision clearly, inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. Five things. Number one, if you want to hear the voice of God, you need to withdraw. I will climb up to the watchtower. How many people fit up in a watchtower? One. You don't bring everyone and Nene up there, right? It was for the youth. Okay. Thank you. You don't withdraw to a watchtower to watch over everything with tons of people. Say, hey, everyone, let's go watch the fields. No, it's a singular kind of thing. It's an individual kind of thing. First one is withdraw. Get away and be alone. Remove distractions. Turn off everything. A lot of us have problems being alone. We're like, I'm just going to get away. Yeah, get away to Facebook. get away to TV or distractions. What, get away? Have you ever just sat there? One of my favorite things to do is if I go on long drives, I'll just kill all music. I'll just put my phone in the back because I text and drive, so I shouldn't do that. So I'll throw in the back and I just get away distractions and I just sit there and I just start speaking in tongues. I just get quiet and I just start driving. Some of the most inspirational things that have ever come to me are just in the absolute silence of just being alone. If I asked our church and said one service, we showed up and said, we're gonna get alone before God. No music, no distractions. We're just gonna sit here for the hour and whatever we sit here for, and some of you guys would lose your minds. You'd go through your grocery list four times before we even dismissed. Can you withdraw? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? The punchline of the message, can you hear me now, is not our response to God. It's not our question to God. It's not, God, can you hear me now? Because that's an absolute yes. It's actually his question to us. Can you hear me now? Have you gotten away to listen to what I've said and I'm saying and I'm going to say? Have you been alone? There's a lot going on, I know. But can you hear me now? It's not our question to God, even though we can default into that. God, why is this happening? Can you even hear me right now? Yes. Can you hear him now? Can you hear him now? Withdrawal. It's a five-step process that I've already said. First thing you have to do is withdraw. You have to go away for a moment. Get away. Just spend time alone. Spend time alone. I was talking to the youth maybe 3 weeks ago when we talked about the 10 things. I'm getting confirmation from the youth, just make sure on the same page. And we talked about what are the most impactful times in worship. And a lot of us said, oh, you know, at camp when there's everyone surrounded and the lights and the laser beams and the music and the DJ, it's just crazy. Worship is insane. And I challenged them, I said, have you ever felt the presence of God when you're just by yourself and there's no music and just a song erupts out of your spirit? For me, that's the time I hear God more mightily than any amount of choir raising up, any amount of musician, of stirring of the songs. And maybe I'm just wired that way, but there's something about being alone one-on-one with God that's just something so sweet and tangible. I love that feeling. Number two, wait. Wait. Verse 1 says, I will climb up to the watchtower and stand at my guard post. He doesn't climb up to the watchtower and go, yeah, we're good. I'm out. I will wait on the Lord. I had a friend in college, I can't mention his name, and we were hanging out and we were on the same track, and we were going to be youth pastor, and we're like, yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Oh, it's going to be great. And stuff happened, and he ended up sidetracking, and I was like, oh, that was one of my favorite friends. I loved him. He just left. He was gone. He was out of Bible college, never to be seen as a pastor again. I was like, man, I loved him. A year and a half later, he came back, and he was one of the most like on fire, fresh for Jesus people I've ever, and I was just like, this guy's different. This guy has experienced God like Moses experienced. Like, what's going on? And I took him out for coffee, and I was like, what's his name? Bro. I had to think of a nickname real quick. Bro. What happened to you? You are in love with Jesus more than I've ever seen someone in love with Jesus. You just have this authority. We walk into Starbucks and he, we would be ordering, he kept glancing over, he'd walk over to someone and just say, can I pray? I'm a pastor, and is there something going on? And they're like, I just found out I'm getting divorced today. And these moments where I was like, this guy walks in authority. And a year ago, what? And I was like, what happened to you? What changed from that to this? I was like, you are different. And he goes, one day I just decided to wake up and I held my Bible and I said, God, I'm going to read for 15 minutes and then I'm not going to leave until I hear you say something to me today. I'm just going to read and be quiet. And he said the first day, he goes, I was there for 2 hours. The next day, I was there for probably about an hour and a half. Next day, about an hour and a half. And then he goes, I just kept doing it. He goes, 1 month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed, every day. I just wanted to hear God say something to me. And he goes, in those moments, from waiting on the Lord, God changed my life. I can't go back to anything I ever was at. There's no joy or happiness in that lifestyle now. Because I wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Some of us, we get very uncomfortable in silence. If I could challenge you, try to imagine if that's you and it's very hard for you to get quiet before God and just silence. You start thinking of a million things. Oh, I forgot to pick this up. Oh, I forgot to do this. I had a teacher say, put a list, a piece of paper in front of you, not your phone, because as soon as you open up your phone, there's a million things you start doing, and all of a sudden an hour's gone. Put a piece of paper and a pen. And when something happens on your mind, write it down and forget it. Write it down, forget it. Imagine that that's like the enemy just trying to get you out of the fellowship with God and say, all right. Oh, I need to pick up. Okay. Oh, I need a text. Okay. Just wait on the Lord. Number three, look. There are a wait to see what the Lord says and how he'll answer my complaint. See what the Lord says. Does that make any sense to anyone else? English people? I will see what the Lord is saying. For some, I'm getting mixed up on my eyes and my ears. Do I watch what someone is saying? Is that weird to anyone else? Hold on, you want to talk to me? Okay, go ahead, I'm watching. You know, yeah, keep talking. Let me put my headphones on, you know? When you talk to a kid, take your headphones out, I need to talk to you. Look, see what the Lord is saying. What is this getting at? What is this alluding to? Read in our Bible. We use our eyes to see what the Lord has said already. Thanks, Elena, for showing me sign language to prove me wrong, right? See what the Lord is saying. You know, I put this down. Stop waiting for a voice and start looking for a verse. Stop waiting for a voice and start looking for a verse. Oftentimes, for me, how God speaks to me. And a lot of times it's different because God built us all differently. We all have different mindsets, emotions, thought processes, and God meets us where we're at. For me, it's through scripture. When I pray for someone or I activate and I start processing information for people, say, people pray, you know, can you pray with me? And I say, yes. And all of a sudden God will speak to me in three ways. I'll get an image. It's just like an illustration. Something will just pop in my mind, totally obscure and unrelated. And I've come to learn that's God giving me an illustration, an image to speak to someone. Something will just pop in my mind. Like an image will just show up, and now I've learned to discern what that image is. That image always points to a verse. Sometimes I don't do my due diligence and have the entire Bible memorized to know that verse, but oftentimes I'll get that verse later. It points to a verse. And very rarely, when I pray, I'll have a word pop up in my mind. Just one word. Just something small. How do you hear God? How do you know what he's saying? He already said it in the Bible. But it's discerning how he's speaking to you now. Is it through the scripture that you read and you prove it to what God is saying to you? Or is the image that relates to a scripture, that relates to that exact moment, the Holy Spirit just speaks through you in a powerful, mighty way? I love those moments. I love those moments when So my favorite moments is sitting at a camp and you have hundreds of kids all coming up to get prayer. And then just one by one, you pray over. And I start getting like rapid fire machine gun images that just pop in my head, one kid after another. And I'll say something like, does this make sense to you? And they're like, how did you know? And I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. That's God moving in a mighty way. I love those moments. Number three, look. Look at what he's already said. If you're trying to find where to start hearing the voice of God, read the Bible. Look at what he's saying. Number four, write. Write. Write down your insights. This is something that I started doing, and it's actually really helped me. I know not all of us like to write, and I certainly don't like to write, but I'm trying to get better. Write. Write down your prayers and read them to God. Write down your prayers and read them to God. Well, that's kind of unusual. I haven't really heard that before. Maybe someone said that once. It's actually where we get the book of Psalms. People sat down and wrote their prayers out to God and put music to it. Said, God, this is what I'm going through. It's horrible. They start off saying this and this and this, and all of a sudden something changes halfway. It's like, oh, life is beautiful again. You know, write it out to God. Write it out. Number five, review. Review. Do you know it's important to test what God is speaking to you? Do you know why? If you can't test it, it can't be trusted. If you don't test it according to his word, you won't know if it's the enemy speaking to you or a bad burrito you ate the night before. You won't know what it is. If God is speaking to you, make sure it is God. Some of the most devastating things you will ever see in a church or a believer is when someone walks up and says, oh, I heard God say this. And they tell you, and unless that person is a strong believer in Christ and they know how to discern, it can really damage them. It's so funny. I had a professor who was talking about hearing the voice of God and making sure 100% you know it's the voice of God. He said, I'm going to talk as if I'm him. He was sitting at Bible college and he was young and he was attending rather than teaching, but now he's teaching now, but he was attending back then. And he's walking around and a girl walks up and says, God told me. He goes, oh, what did God tell you? And he goes, that you're going to marry me. And he goes, that's funny. He told me the opposite. And he goes, next time you feel like you're infatuated with someone, get away first, fast and pray. I was like, that's really smart. I was like, are those exact words you said when you're, he goes, probably not. He goes, I probably said something way worse. Review it. Is this from God? Thus saith the Lord. If he said it to you today, he said it in the Bible. Is it in accordance with his word that he's already written down? Or is it something just crazy? Review it. I love tested words. I love prophetic words when you see a young person or someone get a prophetic word and then 15, 20 years later, they come up and say, hey, remember that word? It finally happened. And you're like, that was God. That was 100% undeniably God. For a word to last 15, 20 years, and I love when kids say, my favorite is when just things of God are moving and I have words where I pray over someone and 5 years, 10 years later, they're like, hey, you prayed over me this. And all of a sudden I have that flashback and I remember the entire prayer. It's like that illustration. I'm like, I fully remember that right now. I've forgotten it for this long, but I remember it. It's just something so special, so unique. This morning, here's what I want us to do. Worship team, can we come forward? Can we do the, pick one of the songs, maybe Holy Spirit, Meet Us Here? Can we do that? What I want to ask today is, would you be so bold to spend this quiet time just listening to God? Don't enter into mouthing the words of worship. Don't let this become a music time. This is a worshipful moment. But more so, this is a moment for you just to be silent before God. Just to sit down and say, God, speak because your servant's listening. I don't want to think about anything else except what you have to say to me today. Go ahead, let's close our eyes right now. Just stay seated. Lord, speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Give us insight, give us wisdom, give us the words that we need, the encouragement, the courage, the comfort, the insight to see what we need to see today. Lord, this whole series is based on being fresh. And Lord, we can't be fresh unless we're connected to you. Draw near to you and you will draw near to us. Lord, if you're the vine, the tree trunk, and we're the branch, we can't produce flowers, we can't produce fruit, we can't produce anything unless we're connected. Lord, as you bring life from the roots and up through us to grow, God, I pray you'd speak to us in that connection today. Let us just be silent before you. Let us just be quiet in our mind, our emotions, and everything, God. Lord, I rebuke any frustrations that we have that might come up. I rebuke any thoughts and ideas and concepts that would pop up right now that aren't of you. Lord, meet us here today.
And fill.